Good morning. This morning, we want to take a few moments in the service to recognize once again the Stephen ministry in the life of the church, and in particular, one of our individuals that has returned from a week-long intensive training along with one other gentleman in St. Louis. And this is to be trained as a Stephen ministry leader. Ron Somerville is who we'll be recognizing today, and then next Sunday, Kenny Wilson. Kenny is unable to be with us today, and so we're going to do it two different Sundays because, again, we want to continue to help each one as a congregation understand what Stephen Ministry is. So first of all, why the name Stephen Ministry? Well, in the book of Acts, chapter 6, as the early church was beginning to grow, this was after Christ had died on the cross and risen again and appeared to his disciples and had commissioned them. He said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples," which simply means students, learners, you know, go teach people about me, "and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then teach them to observe what I've taught you, how to live, how to do life, and remember I'm with you always." So this was the great commission that Jesus gave to those first apostles and disciples. Well, when they began to do that on the day of Pentecost, it was a Jewish festival, the Holy Spirit, Christ's Holy Spirit, came in a powerful way, and those first initial 12 apostles and then others who were with them, and you're going to hear a little bit about that in the message today a little later, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to tell about Christ, and many people came to faith. Not only Jewish people, but people outside the Jewish culture, because God wanted everybody to come to know him and to be in his family and to receive him. Well, as that dynamic happened in the early church, there were so many people that were becoming part of their congregation of believers. There were people who had needs, and the early apostles were seeing these needs and hearing about widows that were needing to have food, and they didn't have the kind of social settings like we have today in America, and the church really met a lot of those physical needs and things. Well, anyway, so there began to be this complaint and this concern that rose in the early church, and so the apostles said, you know what, God has called us to absolutely keep sharing the message of Christ, and there's just no way the church is growing too large. There's no way for us in our small number to take care of everyone's needs. So let's pray, and let's appoint some other leaders in the church to be leaders who show evidence of the Holy Spirit leading and they're trustworthy. And we're going to appoint them to the task of helping to meet the needs in this growing congregation. Well, in Acts chapter 6, we learn that, first of all, they chose seven individuals, and of those seven, one was a man named Stephen. And Stephen exemplified so much a caring spirit and wanting to show others the love of Christ, not only by what he did, but how he spoke. It was just evident that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and God used him in as a mighty way. So he literally began to become an early leader in the church. His faith was so strong and so evident, not only to people in the church, but outside the church, that eventually, when there were those who were persecuting the church and opposed to the Christian belief, Stephen was actually put to death for his faith. So he actually is the first Christian martyr recorded in the scriptures. So I kind of scratched my head and I said, why in the world would you want to name a ministry Stephen Ministry? Who wants to volunteer to die for Jesus? So I say that kind of jokingly, but it is really serious. Here's the point of it. He exemplified a life of commitment. And just saying, look, I'm nobody special, but I want to be used of God. And people recognize that in the church. The church leaders recognize that, and so they commissioned him, they ordained him and others to do this. And so I think it is appropriate that we name this ministry Stephen Ministry. Because it's everyday working people just like yourself and like me. I say that even though I'm a pastor now, because I haven't always been a pastor. But just willing to say, Lord, how do you want to use me? What do you want me to do, even with all my imperfections? And so that's what the Stephen Ministry is. And again, you'll hear a little bit more about this in the message, though the message is for everyone today. I do pray it will be used to help you understand a little bit more about Stephen Ministry. Well, having said all that, my prayer for Porterfield is that the Stephen Ministry will become part of our spiritual DNA of who we are. In the same way that we're now launching our Upward Sports program, which is an outreach to the community at large to connect with people who maybe would never come to a worship service here, but they'll bring their child or their grandchild to a sporting, to get them involved in sports, whether it's flag football or whatever type of sports we do in the future, cheerleading, all those different things. Because we're using that as a mission outreach to our community so that kids can come, learn about sports and whatever level they are, learn about character, but also learn about Christ. During, you've heard about this, at halftime there'll be a brief devotion. We're making no secret about it that, hey, we want you to come and learn about sports and have a good time and develop physically, but we also are not going to leave out the spiritual aspect. We want you to know about Jesus. Well, as the church continues to grow, maybe through that outreach and many other outreaches that we do missionally through Belpre Area Ministries and all these other things, people come into the church, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but with people come problems. And you know how I know that? Because I'm a people, and I have problems. We all do. And so what we need to do, though, in the church is to help one another. And there's no way I, as the pastor, or even our staff that we have at the size we're at, that we could meet all of your needs. And even if, for those of you that are in life groups, you will be able to connect with people in your life group or your Sunday school class, or maybe if you're part of a ministry team, you'll connect with people. But to me, in the church this size, as we grow to be healthy, we've got to have a lot of layers, so to speak, of connection with people. So look at Stephen Ministry as just another one of those very important layers in the life of the church that is reaching out with the love and care of Jesus to pray for one another, encourage one another. This ministry will focus on people who are just going through a difficult time, don't want to draw a lot of attention to themselves, but they still, you know, they have concerns and are going through a rough time. And what Stephen Ministry offers is to say, we want to be intentional and we're willing to have somebody just come alongside you and literally be assigned to you for a period of time, for however long you're comfortable as a care receiver. And this is a person who's going to check on you regularly, pray for you, and just help through that time. It is a two-year commitment to be a Stephen minister. And at the end of those 2 years, if you feel like, hey, this isn't really what I think I want to do the rest of my life, then that's fine. Part of that two-year commitment involves the training that happens right here at the church. And you'll go through so that you'll feel equipped to know how to be a good listener and how to pray for someone, how to encourage them without overstepping your bounds or their bounds. So it's not for everybody, but it's absolutely for somebody, and I would say somebodies. I'm thankful for the Stephen ministers we have right now in the life of the church. And again this morning, we want to recognize in particular one of those individuals, Ron Somerville. Ron, would you come on up, please, and share a little bit from your perspective about the Stephen ministry, and then we're going to give him a presentation and have a prayer for him, and then we're going to have our offering and move through the rest of the service. But this is really important. So thank you, Ron, for being willing to share.
Good morning. You know, we've already heard it this morning. Tracy presented it. This church has a vision. And that vision is imprinted on most Christians' hearts and souls in this church. And what is it? Let's say it together. Loving and leading people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And what was the first word? Loving. The very first word in our vision is reflective of the Stephen's ministry. Loving. Listening. Empathy, caring, nurturing, compassion, all of this surrounded and encompassed in constant prayer. The caring ministry at Porterfield is not just Pastor Mark's, and it's not our associate pastors, and it's not the deacon's responsibility. In fact, Jesus in John chapter 13, verse 34 says, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. So loving and caring for one another is the privilege that we have as a Christian. It's also the responsibility. We all do it to varying degrees if you're a Christian. Some Christians are very comfortable in providing care and nurturing to others. Some are uncomfortable because they are a little bit inexperienced, or they don't have the skill training set they feel like they need to provide that caring and comfort. Through the Stevens Ministry, we are now prioritizing this very important ministry in our church. Many of you have been providing loving care in your daily faith walk. And all we're doing is simply now organizing and training Christian volunteers to sharpen these skills where they may have been inexperienced or unsure of how or what to say or what to do when they're providing care and nurturing to someone who's having issues and catastrophic events in their family. This is lay ministry. It means when you complete the thorough training you're going to receive, you're not going to be a counselor, you're not going to be a psychiatrist, you're not going to be a psychologist, you're not even going to be a mental health worker. What you're going to be is a caring, loving Christian who's been given the skills to provide loving, empathetic listening and be able to walk alongside someone who's in crisis in their life and who needs this type of prayerful support. One final thought. Stephen Ministry is a Christ-centered ministry that's been around since 1978. It's in over 12,000 churches across the nation. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14 expresses it well. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, Mark's going to mention this, but I want to say it again. This evening at 7 p.m. in the theater, we are having an orientation, question-answer, get familiar with Stephen's ministry session. If you have any interest whatsoever, if you have concerns or questions, I invite you, please come and let's get those resolved and give you the opportunity to become part of a growing ministry in this church. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Very good. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16 is the main passage that we're going to be looking at today. So if you want to follow along with me in your scriptures, electronically, paper-wise, however you have them. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 through 16. I'll be reading this passage from the New International Version this morning. Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. In the midst of Jesus' healing and teaching ministry, he often would pray. But what he did on this particular evening seemed a little bit different. He went off by himself up on the hill to the mountaintop, and he spent the entire night in thoughtful prayer because he knew he had an important decision to make, and he wanted to make sure that he was making the right choices. Of the many students that had begun to follow him as his disciples, his followers, as he had gone and invited people to learn from him, as he traveled from town to town, they wanted to learn more about who this man was. They saw the things that he was doing. They heard the things that he was teaching, and he was different than any of the Pharisees or the religious leaders and teachers of their day. And yet he was staying true to what they had learned in their Jewish culture about God. In fact, they were seeing things of God in him that they didn't even see in some of their other religious leaders. And so there was this attraction there. And of all the people in that general group that had begun to follow him, though, Jesus was now beginning to invite some of them to a deeper call, a deeper calling on their life. I don't know if that's theologically correct, but I'm using that term. I know I've experienced it in my own life. Maybe you've experienced it in yours, and if you haven't, perhaps you will. But first of all, there is this general call that Christ gives to everyone. He says, believe on me, follow me, trust me. I died for you. I love you. I want you to know me and know what I've done for you. So that's that initial call, that initial invitation. And those who hear that call and respond in whatever way of saying, yes, I do believe, and I do want to follow you. I got a lot of problems. I'm not perfect, but yeah, I want to follow you. I want to learn from you. Well, these were called disciples. In fact, in the New Testament, the Greek word, as the New Testament was written in Greek, the original text of the new language, that Greek word that's translated into English as disciple literally just simply means student, a learner, a pupil. And it kind of has this whole idea of kind of like a mentorship or apprenticeship. You learn by experiencing and of course, following, listening to the teaching, but also by being involved. But we notice here, so there is that general call to know and to learn about Christ, which is discipleship. And Jesus also said, by the way that you let people know that you want to be one of my disciples, one of my students, is to go through water baptism. We have ceremonies in our culture that recognizes not only when somebody enrolls in some course of study, but certainly when they graduate. Many of you have attended graduation ceremonies. Well, baptism isn't like a graduation ceremony, because that's like kind of celebrating at the end of a journey and you're celebrating something you've accomplished. Water baptism is saying, wow, I'm new at this, and I want to learn. I want to grow. So I liken it more to like a wedding ceremony where you're responding to God's love and you're publicly saying, yes, I want to learn and grow in this relationship with God through Christ and what he's done for me. So there's that, again, that initial call. But then we see here where Jesus takes that general crowd of disciples, pupils, student learners, and he's now calling them to a greater commitment, a deeper level of following and training that he wants to give them. And so you notice in the passage in verse 13, it says, when morning came, when that pink light of the sun, as it broke over the hillside and the horizon, he walks down that mountainside, and I can just kind of picture the freshness of the morning, and he calls all of his followers, and then he says, I made a decision today. There's 12 of you that I want to choose, and I'm going to give you a special assignment. So it says, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them, whom he also designated. There it is. He commissioned them. He designated them for a particular purpose, and that particular purpose was apostleship. So what's an apostle? Well, in the language of the New Testament, we translate that Greek word that means apostle in the New Testament into the English language, it's translated as apostle. Literally, it means sent one, an official messenger. So now we see Jesus taking those general followers and saying, I'm putting a deeper call right now. I'm going to ask you to step out from beyond even the rest, and I'm going to work with you more closely because I have a special ministry in mind for you, a special task that I want you to perform for me. And that's what apostle means. Again, one who is sent with authority, with a commission to do the task for the one who is doing the sending. Official messengers or sent ones. His choices, I think, probably surprised a lot of the disciples. And probably more than anything, it surprised the ones that he chose. And I don't know about you, but that's often the way it is when God calls us, when Jesus calls us, whether it's the first time that you felt that tug at your heart, the Holy Spirit speaking to you in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit, saying, I want you. I want you to respond to this. I love you. I want you to receive me. I want you to follow me. It might have surprised some of you. It did me. In fact, when I would hear preaching and talking about Christ and the invitation given, there was times I almost was like resistant. It's like I felt like I knew I ought to respond in some way, but I was afraid. I didn't know how, because I was thinking, I'm not worthy of this. And the fact of the matter is, you're not worthy. I'm not worthy. So if you feel, first of all, like God's either calling you to just follow him, to receive him as Savior, just know that he knows you're not worthy. That's why he's inviting you, because that's what Jesus does. He calls imperfect people. These 12 that he chose, of all the disciples who were imperfect people, these 12 probably had some of them scratching their heads. They were probably thinking, you gotta be kidding me. Of this whole group, he's picking those 12 to be the apostles, special sent ones. I mean, I know what this guy was like before he started following Jesus. And frankly, there's a few things on a couple of nights that I've hung out with him while we're following Jesus. Do you really know what he did, Jesus? And Jesus is saying, yeah, I know. But I'm calling him, and I'm going to equip him, and I'm working with him because I have a special task. That's what he does. And so take courage today. Be encouraged. If you feel like you're struggling in your life or you feel like you're not worthy, then you're just right in the perfect place for God to use you. He does not pick perfect people. I'm living proof of that. I mean, the first time that I felt like God calling me to follow him, I kind of fought it. I was like, no, God, I'm not sure about this. I was kind of scared. And then I finally stepped in faith and, okay, Lord, I accept you. I follow you. I want to live for you. Help me. And then I stumbled and fell, and not physically. I'm talking spiritually and every other way, morally and all that stuff. But God continued to have his hand on me. And then after he gave me that call to begin to follow him, as I learned more about him in various ways, it seemed like then he got to a point where he says, well, now, Mark, I want you to do this. And it came through somebody in the church asking me to serve in a certain capacity. And I would think, I'm not worthy to do this. And it was just like God was saying, that's exactly right. You're not worthy. But if you're willing, I will use you. And so I would take that step of faith until it finally came to a point where I sensed that he was calling me into full-time ministry of some kind. Never dreamed I'd end up being a pastor or being the pastor of Porterfield. I've shared this with you before. In fact, there was a time when I literally prayed to God, and I'm sorry to say this, but he knows because he heard the prayer, but I said, God, I'll do anything you want. Just please don't make me be a pastor. And again, God was very patient with me, very loving, and it took a long time. I went through a lot of journey to where then I was finally like, okay, whatever, I'll just, but I can't do this without you. And again, I believe God just smiled and said, now you're ready. Because when you can admit that you can't do it without me and that you're not worthy, now you're in a position where I can use you. So if that's you today, in whatever situation you are in life, you feel like, but Mark, you don't know what I've done. You don't know my reputation. Well, God knows it, and he'll call you anyway, because he uses all of that stuff. Think about the 12 apostles real quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but Peter, we know, was brash and impulsive. James and John were two brothers, and their nicknames before they came to know Jesus and follow Jesus was Sons of Thunder. So literally, they were hotheads. I mean, they had a reputation for being troublemakers. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Thunder rumbles, rolls, gets everyone's attention. That was their nickname. So they were known probably for being people to stir stuff up. And some of them were probably thinking, you mean the Sons of Thunder? Jesus is going to actually use them. In fact, even after they started following Jesus, they still had a lot of their personality. Because again, we still have our personalities when we follow Jesus. It's just we kind of learn how to grow and adapt and maybe keep those personalities in check a little more by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we're still us. But we read in the scriptures that James and John, even after they were following Jesus, they went into this one village, and the people in the village basically said to them all, Jesus and all the followers, we don't want you here. Get out. We don't want to hear what you have to say. Be on your way. And so Jesus is just like, okay. And leaves town, and James and John are like, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and consume that village? Very loving people, right? They hadn't quite learned the love and grace of Jesus yet. And Jesus was like, no, no, hold off with it. That time will come later, but not right now. So again, we see the reality of the type of people that Jesus chose. Matthew, he worked for public debt. Oh my goodness. I know, we have some people here that work for public debt. It's not a slam. But I just want you to see the reality of it. He was a tax collector. He worked for the government agency that would collect people's taxes. We don't know this, but wouldn't it be something to think if Matthew was the one who, like when Peter and Andrew were coming in from their big catch of the day, and James and John in their everyday fishing job, and Matthew standing there at the dock with the tax. Pay up, boys. These were the disciples. So it's very likely that some of them, not only when they began to follow Jesus, was looking at one another and going, do you know what they did? But the thing that held them together was Jesus. Now, be honest with one another. I know, because I've been here for 18 years and I've heard some of you share, and I'll keep those confidences. But there's some of you here in this congregation that look around and go, well, I can't believe they are here and part of this church. Do you know what they did? Well, as a matter of fact, I do. I mean, I'm not saying that. The point is, we do that in church today. We look at somebody else and we say, well, look what they did. Why are they going to Porterville? They're just going to put on a show. Or what? No, the one thing that binds us together is Jesus. That's what bound together these first disciples and these apostles. So even though they didn't quite get it, and they were scratching their heads and saying, why did you choose these people, Jesus? He wasn't saying they were more important. He just said, I have a special task for them. And he had a special task for others that he called to other things. And that's what he does for us today. I mean, even Judas ended up betraying Christ, and that was a tragedy. Peter also, though, denied Jesus. The difference between the two was Judas Iscariot never came to a point where he could go back to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. He committed suicide in his grief, and that's a tragedy. And I have no idea what God is doing with Judas. That is between God and Judas. What I can tell you about is how he responded to Peter. Peter, who denied him three times and felt so ashamed that he had let God down. And what did Jesus do after he rose from the dead? Tell Peter I want to meet with him. Oh man, if I would have been Peter, I'd have been scared to death. He is going to ream me out. He's going to chew me out. But when Peter and Jesus met, Jesus didn't yell at him. He just simply, in love, gave him actually three chances to kind of right the wrong he had done. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I love you, Lord. And then he didn't say, well, then why did you deny me? He didn't do it. He just said, do you love me? Yeah. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you really love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And that was Jesus' own special, sweet way of just saying, I love you too. And yeah, you messed up, but you're still one of mine and I want to use you. So if you're here this morning and you feel like you've messed up or in the midst of messing up, Jesus still loves you, cares about you. He wants to use you. Whether it's in Stephen ministry or it's in some other type of ministry. But here's the thing. Instead of choosing superior, accomplished, proven people to represent him, Jesus surprised everybody by choosing everyday common class people that had faults and problems. And he prayed for them. So I want to go over just a few facts about Stephen ministry, and then I want to close out with a few scriptures. And we actually will be done today because I believe God's Spirit is going to speak and what he needs to say in whatever time we have left. But so let's focus for a moment. We've talked about Upward Sports, and we've talked in the past at our ministry fair about so many different areas to serve. There's a place for everybody. But I do want to focus on Stephen ministry, because as a congregation, we need to understand the importance of this ministry, along with everything else, as one of the layers to give people opportunity to use their spiritual gifts and to meet a need in the church. So again, as Upward Sports is going to connect with people in the community and bring more people in, Stephen Ministry will be ministering to not only those new people coming in, but those of you that have been here for a long time that are going through a rough time and would appreciate having somebody for a brief period of time to just spend a little bit of time with you, maybe an hour each week at your discretion as a care receiver, You work that out with your Stephen minister, and you could either go out to lunch together or talk on the phone or whatever, but you just know somebody isn't going to intentionally check on you and care for you for an agreed period of time. And it will always be a man with a man, a woman with a woman. We want to try to maintain integrity in every area of our ministry. So Stephen ministry is actually a call to go deeper into discipleship. It's not that you're more important than other ministries or other people. It's just for you personally, it's a call you're feeling. God makes you, Christ makes you through the Holy Spirit to step into this. Okay, I'm going to be appointed for this task, and I'm willing to be trained, and I want to be used of you, Lord. And it's a two-year period that you serve. That 2 years includes the training that you will go through on site right here. It's generally done on Sunday evenings. And then once you go through that training, you'll be commissioned as a Stephen minister. And then as the needs arise, you will be assigned to a care receiver. And again, it's all cooperative. It's all everybody talks as far as the Stephen ministry. I will assign you. Someone will assign you. And it'll all be with the approval and the agreement of those people involved, even though confidentiality is kept throughout this between the care receiver and the caregiver. So here's a few quick facts. Stephen leaders, go ahead and put that slide up, and Stephen ministers follow Jesus' life example of balanced ministry of prayer and action. And again, that's what we all ought to be doing. Number two, put the next slide up. Stephen ministers are official messengers from Jesus their Lord, exercising the authority he has granted to all Christians. So again, this is not something that all of us are not capable of doing or shouldn't be doing, but it's very intentional. Exercising the authority he has granted all Christians to speak and act for him, loving others with his love, and trained, this is the thing, trained in speaking his message and forgiveness of new life. Go ahead and put the next slide up. Stephen ministry is not focused on transferring education about Jesus from one person to another. So this isn't like a personal Bible study you do with them. As a Stephen minister, I mean, obviously, if you're talking with someone, listening, and you want to share an encouraging Bible verse, that's fine. But we just want you to understand, if you're a Stephen minister, this isn't like you're becoming a teacher for that person. You're just a caring individual. So the focus, rather than on transferring education about Jesus from one person to another, it's not as much of that as it is imparting the Spirit of Jesus relationally from one person to another, in a way that that person will experience the help and the healing and the hope that Christ can bring. And go ahead and put the next slide up. So Stephen ministry responds to a call from Christ to deeper discipleship with purpose. And that's what it's really about. And again, every ministry in the life of the church is important. For you here today, some of you, the deeper call that you're feeling, or perhaps God is giving you, is that initial call to just say, believe in me. Maybe you don't come to church that often, or you do come and you've never really connected, and maybe today, somehow, God is going to use either what I'm saying or something that happened in the service today, our gathering, through His Holy Spirit, music or whatever, and you sense God just tugging at your spirit saying, I want you to follow me. I want you to step out in faith. Take that next step. For you, maybe that's that deeper call. For those of us that have done that, though, maybe He's saying, you know what, you've been invited to be part of a ministry, or you've been thinking about this, so be willing to take that step. It's a response to a deeper call. And here's the thing that all of us need to understand. Jesus prays for us. He really does. We pray for one another, but Jesus prays for us. And that's why I want to close with these scriptures. I'm going to wrap this up. In John chapter 17, verses 18 through 21, I love this because his apostles who were with him, I don't know who of the group. By the way, I mentioned about Peter and James and John and all those that were outgoing and, you know, we know about. How many of you, other than reading that Bartholomew was one of the disciples, how many of you can tell me anywhere else in the New Testament something Bartholomew did? I dare you. You know why? There's not much else is said about Bartholomew. And some of the others. And here's the thing I don't want you to miss. If you're introverted and you feel like you don't have many gifts, or you feel like, how in the world could I serve you, God? Because I don't like to be up in front of people. I just want to be behind the scenes. Guess what? Bartholomew some of the others. By the way, Simon the Zealot, he was a protester. Forgot to mention that. So, you know, when you watch on the news and you see the people standing there in the streets with their signs and they're protesting, that would be Simon the Zealot, because he was a protester. He didn't like the government. He didn't like things going on. He was kind of known for being the political activist. God can use anybody. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing it? So he really removes all excuse. And if you're here today and you're saying, I just want to be behind the scenes, I don't want to be noticed, you're not off the hook, because he called Bartholomew. And he called some others who we don't really know what they did, but we know for sure that they were servants of the Lord because they were named with those apostles. So God will use anyone. He'll use those that want to stay in the background, those that don't mind being up front, all of that kind of stuff. And here's the thing. When you're going through a difficult time, know that Jesus prays for you. In John 17, 18, this is Jesus' prayer recorded. Maybe one of those quiet disciples that we don't know their name was writing this down so that the Apostle John could record it in his writings. But Jesus prayed and said to the Father, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. There it is, sent ones. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. That means I set myself apart, that they themselves also may be sanctified or set apart in the truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. You know who that is? Right there, Jesus is praying for you and I today. Because that's who we are. The only reason we are here is because of those first 12 apostles and that first generation of disciples who followed Christ, was faithful with that task he gave. They were sent forth with a message. They told people about Christ. It was recorded down. We have it in the scriptures. God's Holy Spirit has continued to live through that and work through that to where he speaks to our spirit today, alive, living through his Holy Spirit, and we become believers. So Jesus was and still is praying for us. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. You and I here today are every bit as important as those disciples and apostles that Jesus prayed for when this was recorded. And what was his prayer? That we all would be what? We all would be one. On the same level together, because we're all important to God. He chose us. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, it reminds us that Jesus is always interceding for us. This gives us confidence. It's not an excuse to sin, but it gives us confidence to know that when we mess up, Christ is still interceding for us. And in effect, basically kind of praying, and his life is speaking intercession for us. Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him. That's the thing. Jesus is who holds us together. Our focus must be on him. Our trust must be on him. As inadequate, as discouraged as we feel, Christ is the one who holds us together. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. There it is. Christ's life continually intercedes. And the last scripture, finally today, talks about his Holy Spirit interceding for us. In Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit, Christ's Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know how we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. I don't know about you, but that gives me encouragement. I need you all to be praying for me. And I pray for you. But isn't it good to know that Christ prays for us? His Holy Spirit is interceding constantly, praying for us, to strengthen us, to help us through the difficult days when we feel like we're letting God down. He's still praying for us. He's still cheering us on. He's still saying, don't give up. Don't give in. I will give you strength. And so he will do that whether you're serving in ministry as a Stephen minister or on staff here, or in any ministry that you do, as you step out in faith with the Upward Sports, whatever it is, just know that Christ is interceding for you, His Holy Spirit is interceding for you, and we are praying for you. We have been praying as Stephen ministers and as church leaders that you will hear God's call, and for those that He's gifted in this way, that you'll take that step of faith and respond to that deeper call. So tonight, an opportunity, this is really the response. Tonight, if you're feeling that tug at your heart, you'd like to learn more, it's not a commitment tonight, just come and show up, and you'll get some questions answered. We'll talk more about the ministry. You'll maybe be able to share and hear from a few other Stephen ministers, and then you can make that decision if that's an area that you want to serve in. Would you stand? And we're going to close out our service this morning now. And as we close it out, praise band's going to come up, and they're going to close with a song of worship. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask our Stephen ministers, our current Stephen ministers who are here today, if you'll go ahead and make your way to the front. And what they're going to do is they're just going to kind of, if you would, Stephen ministers, when you come up, just kind of stand along the front aisle here. And if you're here this morning and you would like someone to pray with you, then you can come up to me or to one of these Stephen ministers. They've got the blue badges on, whoever you might feel comfortable with. And you could ask them to pray for you about something. If you'd like to just come forward and pray and not have anybody bother you in that way, it's just between you feel that need to do that. You can come up and over here to this part of the steps right here, and if you want to kneel down or stand, you can pray right where you're at. But this is just one way that we want to give you as an opportunity to show a response. And our Stephen ministers are going to be praying for you, for each of you here today, and for our entire congregation as we want to continue to reach people with the love of Christ. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing us, imperfect as we are. Thank you for loving us. Thank you also, Lord, that you want us to grow beyond the things that hold us back and hold us down. Help us to be willing to let go of and to turn loose of things that are holding us back from following you more closely. Help us to hear your call on our life and to respond to that call, even at a deeper level, and to just trust you with all of our fears, with all that we don't understand. Just help us to have that willing heart. Because that, Lord, is what you're looking for, and that's what you will use. So have your way now, Holy Spirit, I pray, in Jesus' name.